So sometimes initially we give an overly optimistic presentation of bhakti that in just one life we'll become purified and we will attain Krishna. But then over a period of 10-15 years, when we still keep facing severe trials and also our material attachments start resurfacing, the devotees feel that they were not even warned about what this was going to come up.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel unprepared to deal with it. Yeah, I agree. We, as compared to most other religious organizations, we have quite high demands for practice in terms of chanting 2 hours, following 4 regs, and having so many other devotional activities. So, when the price is high, one of the strongest motivations for paying that price is the prize that we are going to get, is what we are going to achieve. PRICE prize and PRIZE prize. So, often that goal is talked about in quite vivid terms, and especially it is contrasted with the miserable nature of this material world. So, what happens is that the process necessary for lifelong practice is not talked about.
Yeah.
What happens is we say that, okay, this world is a place of misery and the solution is get out of this world. But getting out of this world, it's going to take a lifetime of practice, sometimes many lifetimes of practice, and we don't prepare devotees to face the challenges that they are going to go through during that time. So, we have, in our first generation, had an overemphasis on renunciation and rejection of the world. And in the second generation, we are coming towards greater balance, where most of the devotees are householders and they are learning at an individual level with some guidance from the community about how to balance the material and the spiritual. So, to a large extent, the way our movement started was amidst a spiritual emergency. Prabhupada had a very short time left with him in his life, and also the people whom he got in the initial stages of his movement were also exceptional. That exceptional can be in a positive sense, that they took up the mission very seriously, but exceptional in the sense that the way they lived is not the way most people are likely to be able to live. They're moving into a monastery and just giving up everything. And many of them, what to speak of next generation, even they themselves find it difficult to continue it that way, lifelong. So, to some extent, what we practiced in the early days and what is considered the standard is devotion in the mode of passion, where we think just passion means, you know, we want intense work and immediate results. So we are ready, devotees sometimes are ready to do incredible austerities, but then they expect results, and when they don't come, they get frustrated. I did so much. But devotion in the mode of goodness means that we have to recognize that we are here for the long haul, and we need to function in a way that we can function sustainably throughout our lifetime. So, for example, surrender was thought of as just give up all your desires and do what your authorities tell you to do. That is surrender. But that we can do. But the standard nature of the method of surrender as taught in the Bhagavad Gita is, actually Krishna tells Arjuna, surrender according to your nature to Krishna. Arjuna wants to be a Brahmana. Brahmana is higher than Kshatriya in social hierarchy. But Krishna tells Arjuna, you are not a Brahmana. You act as a Kshatriya, but don't act as a whimsical Kshatriya. Act as a surrendered Kshatriya. Work for me. So, the recognition that devotees if they are to sustain themselves in the practice of bhakti, they have to find something which is natural to them, and they don't work for their nature, they don't work against their nature, they work with their nature for Krishna. So I think that is one of the most important things which is not adequately emphasized, that we have to find how I can practice bhakti, not just today, but lifelong. So in what pace, in what service, with what kind of environment, all that is something which we have to deeply think about, pray, seek guidance, and then decide. So it's our movement is slowly moving from devotion in the mode of passion towards devotion in the mode of goodness. Ultimately, of course, devotion is in the transcendence, but we ourselves are not in transcendence, so we may practice it in different ways. So I do see a greater cautioning against extreme adoption of any practices, and a recognition of the reality of material things, material nature, and learning to find our way within the reality of material nature, whether that be a sick body, whether that be hostile weather, or whether that be a service incompatible with our nature. So that I feel is the single most important thing, that if devotees understand that I am here to practice bhakti lifelong, and I have to find out how I can practice bhakti lifelong. So to some extent, as our movement is becoming more and more a congregation-based movement, we have to encourage devotees to take responsibility for their spiritual advancement. Often it was taught that you just follow the instruction of your spiritual master and you will make spiritual advancement. You don't have to do anything else. But a spiritual master is not accessible most of the time, and the local authorities, they may not be inspiring. Or sometimes our local authorities also keep changing. We ourselves may travel from one place to another. So then whose instruction do we follow? So in the Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, there's a verse that ultimately we have to become our own gurus. And Jiva Goswami says this is not in defiance of the guru whom we have got taken initiation from, but it is in service to that guru. That means we use our intelligence, which is equipped by our guru, and then we learn to serve Krishna accordingly. So this whole idea of taking individual responsibility for our spiritual advancement, and thereby finding the individual pace at which we can advance, the individual service that can help us to function harmoniously, all this is something which we need to work on. And there is also some kind of conflict going on in our movement, where we can say that some devotees feel that everything that was the way Prabhupada established in the movement, everything should be kept literally as it is. But even that is utopian, because Prabhupada did not do one thing all over the world. In the Western world, Prabhupada had devotees moving to the temple. But in India, Prabhupada encouraged life membership. Life members were people who did not even chant Hare Krishna regularly, did not even follow the four regular principles. Just they contributed to the temple, and Prabhupada allowed them to be at that level, get connected with Krishna consciousness movement, and gradually move towards Krishna. So even if we say we should just do what Prabhupada did, well, Prabhupada did different things at different places. So what aspect of what Prabhupada did? So overall, we have to take responsibility for our spiritual advancement. And rather than talking about being, being over-optimistic or becoming pessimistic, we have to become more realistic. So, yes, our goal is glorious. And generally, the way I see it is, if I start feeling proud of what I have achieved, then I look ahead to see how far I need to go. But if I start feeling discouraged, feeling, oh, I'm not advancing at all, then I look back to see how far I have come. And we do see that we have come substantial distance. The way we were living earlier and the way we are living now, there's a huge difference. So that does indicate that we are advancing. So if we have this understanding that we both, we see the process working in our lives, but the process may not work as dramatically in a transformational way after 10 years as it worked in the first 1 or 2 years, when many of our habits got over, we got over many of our gross habits. So then we can see that the transformation will happen, but it will be much more gradual, incremental and internal. Then we can move onwards. So broadly, three things: functioning more in the mode of goodness rather than passion, intense work and intense unsustainable work with immediate unrealistic expectations of results, and more finding our own nature, and then taking responsibility to find our nature and to serve according to our nature, and appreciating the changes that bhakti has brought in our life, at the same time appreciating that we still have a long way to go, and accordingly either making ourselves, we don't become proud but we don't become discouraged also. So we do need some realistic guidance for how we can advance. And yeah, it's coming. I would say that as compared to even 10-15 years ago, what was considered mainstream in our movement, now what is considered mainstream? I think that sense of balance and sustained long-term practice is coming. So it will, we are moving towards that.